And I'm going to minister a sermon, the mantle of Elijah. And this kind of surrounds about God's calling upon our lives, amen. And if you know anything about Elijah, he had a servant, amen, or a disciple named Elisha. And so it's kind of like almost sounds the same, but one's Elijah and the other one's Elisha. Amen. And I'd like to recap a little bit, I mean, before going into the sermon this morning to provide some context. Amen. And so many of you know about the great encounter Elijah had with God upon the mountain. Amen. On the mountain, he was waiting to see God or hear from God. And there was an earthquake and God was not in the earthquake. And God brought a whirlwind, but he was not found in the whirlwind. And he brought a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. But there was a still small whisper voice, and God was in that voice. And right after this event, God instructed Elijah to go find Elisha to replace him as a prophet in his place, because he was going to be taken up to heaven. And Elijah found Elisha plowing a field with working a common job, and not great paying job, but something that will pay the bills. And that's where God met him. The prophet of God, Elijah, met Elisha, and Elisha followed him. And the scripture says in 1 Kings 19, it says this, Elijah walked by him and threw his mantle over him. Elijah left the oxen and ran to follow Elijah and said, please, let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you. Elijah answered, all right, go back. I'm not stopping you. So he turned back from following him and took the team of oxen, slaughtered them, and with the oxen and the wooden yoke and the plow, he cooked the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he left and followed Elijah and served him. And here we find that the mantle of Elijah was a symbol of his prophetic authority. Throwing this mantle over Elijah meant that he was anointing him and calling him to the ministry to become a prophet of God. And I like to minister a sermon I entitled The Mantle of Elijah. This mantle of Elijah was made of most likely camel hair, some coarse hair, but it gave him warmth. Because if you know anything about Elijah, he was always in a desert place. He was always in the wilderness, always in the mountain regions. And if you know anything about mountain regions, it gets cooler there at night. But it was also Elijah's first lesson that he would have to learn, that this mantle would provide warmth for you, Elijah. Because in this calling of God that he has for your life, you will have to learn to get alone with God. Away from distractions, away from family, away from your cell phone. And we find Elisha is a fast learner. He leaves the oxen behind and ran to follow after Elijah, knowing at times that he will be away from family for long periods of time. But all he had was one request. He said, please, let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, and then I will follow you. But Elijah responded in a way that some might consider a rebuke. He said, all right, go back. I'm not stopping you, Elisha. It was kind of a weird response to a man who just wanted to say goodbye to his parents. Would you agree? But Elijah is saying, listen, you can go back. But remember what I have done to you. Meaning, Elijah, you have a choice. You have a choice in your calling. Yes, you can go and say goodbye to your mom and dad, but the opportunity might pass because there's a risk of delay. The calling upon God's upon your life is now, Elisha. It's now, not later. But the choice to follow that call, it's up to you. And we read, Elijah made the right choice. He killed the oxen, burned the wooden yoke as firewood, made some good barbecue, amen, and gave it to the people to eat. And then he left to follow Elijah. He said, okay, I don't have time right now to say goodbye to my parents, but I'm going to show myself that I'm fully dedicated, fully committed in following God's calling upon my life. I'm going to cut off the ties of my old life and follow the mantle of Elijah that he cast over my life. He totally destroyed the tools of his trade, cutting off anything from that would keep him back from turning back. I remember a time when I got saved and I felt God just calling me to a closer walk with him. He dealt with me with something I had in my wallet. It was a fake ID because I was 19 when I got saved. And this fake ID worked like a charm because it was from the state of Texas. And I don't think people knew how the, you know, how the state of Texas driver license worked. And so it just worked like a charm. But God dealt with me. I had to cut that thing off, saying goodbye to that old life of drinking. And now, fast forward, in 2 Kings chapter 2, everyone knows Elijah is about to be taken up to heaven. You can read the chapter, the schools of the prophets. There was other prophets around knowing that today is the day that he's going to be taken up. And they stood by the river of Jordan, and it says this, Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, which it departed to the right and the left. And then two of them crossed over on dry ground. And when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? So Elijah answered, please, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Elijah replied, you have asked something that's very difficult, a hard thing. If you see me taken from you, you will have it. But if not, then you won't. And as they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire with horses of fire suddenly appeared and separated the two. And then Elijah went up into the heavens in the whirlwind. Verse 14, then Elijah took the mantle of Elijah, which he dropped, and then struck the river of Jordan. And he said, where is the Lord of God of Elijah? He asked. And he struck the water himself and departed. The waters departed the right and left, and he crossed over on dry ground. So the question is, what does this whole story mean? You see, the mantle is a piece of garment. It was like a cloak. But in scriptures, the mantle could mean so much more. It could mean so much more than just a piece of cloth or a piece of clothing. The mantle represents calling. Calling to be a pillar. Calling to preach the word. Calling to go into the ministry. Or a calling to serve people in some way or matter. And it also represented the anointing of God. You see, Elijah, he said, if you see me being taken from you, you will have this double portion of my spirit you asked for. And Elisha did. He saw him being taken away up into the heaven. But Elijah, in his quick thinking, perhaps thought that he had this mantle in his hand. He dropped it down on purpose to remind him. To remind him of something. To remind him that you are called Elisha. He didn't have to drop the mantle. But maybe Elijah knew something about the ministry that Elijah didn't know, that he hasn't figured out yet, that the calling of God upon your life will be difficult at some times. Amen. And he probably thought in his quick reflection of his own struggles, as you know, when he struggled, he wanted God just to take his life upon that mountain, wanting to just give up. And his quick thinking, he dropped the mantle. So Elijah can have something to remember by, that you are called Elisha. Don't shy away from it. You have to realize this whole event was very emotional for Elisha. He didn't want his mentor, who has become more than just a friend to him, to go away. The scripture says that Elisha took hold of his own clothes and tore him into two. And he kept on crying out, my father, my father. Elijah has become more than just a prophet of God to him. They spent time together. There was a friendship. There was a bonding that grew stronger and closer. And now seeing that the mantle that Elijah dropped, it probably brought back some memories. He picked it up and probably remembered the first time that he cast this mantle over his shoulders. He remembered while he was plowing the field, just working a regular day, and then he saw Elijah, the prophet of God, coming in his direction. And all of a sudden, he calls him to follow after his footsteps, casting this mantle over him. This will be a picture of your sons or your daughters wearing your own clothes. They get excited because they're growing and wanting to fit your own clothes. But there's something deeper that's happening when you see that happening. They're wanting to follow after your footsteps, to follow after a godly mother or a godly father. It will be a picture of perhaps maybe an NBA player that you have looked up all your life. And they cast their jersey on you, saying, you're going to be the next great thing, kid. But here, Elisha must have felt a little bit overwhelmed. How can I live up to his ministry? I mean, you know, Elijah's famous, man. Calling out fire. Man, how can I live up to his ministry? The feeling of feeling total inadequate. To fulfill his calling, feeling disqualified. And you could almost could start list the reasons of just why not. In fact, this is how most people feel when they find out their calling from God has for them. God, you want me to do what? God, are you sure? Moses felt this way. He felt unworthy, unsure about himself. Called by God to deliver his people from Egypt. He made excuse after excuse to the point where God kind of got ticked off. God was going with them to anoint them to perform all these miracles. But that wasn't enough for Moses, so God had to send his brother Aaron to help him. You read the story in Exodus chapter 3. Moses said to God, "But I'm nobody. How can I go to the king and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you." But Moses replied, "But when I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'Well, what is his name?' So what can I tell them?" God said, "Tell them, I am who I am." And then Moses answered the Lord, "But suppose the Israelites don't believe me and will not listen to what I say. What will I do then if they say that God, you did not appear to me?" So the Lord asked him, "What are you holding?" He said, "A walking stick." And the Lord answered, "Throw it to the ground." And when Moses threw it to the ground, it turned into a snake. And he ran away from it. He got scared. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach down and pick it up by the tail." So Moses reached down and caught it, and it became a walking stick again. He said, "By these miracles, they will believe." But Moses said, "No, Lord, don't send me. I've never been a good speaker. I haven't become one ever since you began speaking to me. I'm a poor speaker, slow and hesitant." And the Lord said to him, "Who's gives man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or dumb? Who gives him sight and makes him blind? It is I, the Lord. Now go, I will help you speak and tell you what to say." But Moses answered, "No, Lord, please send someone else." You get the feeling here. Amen. And at this point, the Lord became angry with Moses. He said, "You know what? What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. In fact, he's on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You can speak to him and tell him what to say, and I help you both to speak, and I help you both to do what you are called to do." Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, is another example who felt unworthy. called by God to be a prophet to his people. It says in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah said, "There is no hope for me. I am doomed because every word that passes from my lips is sinful." That's what his excuse was. "I live among a people whose every word is sinful, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal, and he has taken from the altar with the tongs, and he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, your lips has been touched, your guilt has been taken away, your sins have been atoned for." There's many men in the Bible, when they were called by God, felt unworthy. Jeremiah felt this way. Gideon felt this way. In the book of Judges, Gideon was called by God to be a mighty man of valor, a deliverer, a commander. But do you know where God found Gideon? Hiding from his enemies, from the raiders. There was no courage in him. He even questioned if God was with his people. He even questioned, just like Moses was questioning, where is God who did all the miracles for their ancestors while his people are sitting there being conquered and tormented by the Midianites? But God looked past all his excuses and told Gideon, "Go with all the strength that you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." And Gideon said, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest tribe in Manasseh. I am the least important member of my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you." Just like he's been with Moses, just like he was with Elijah. "And you will strike down the Midianites easily as you were with one man." That's how some God's people see themselves. How can God use me? How can I reach a nation? I don't even have resources. And the world points of view, he's the least, he's the weak, he's the smallest, the shortest. I think you got the wrong person, God. But God said, but I'm sending you. I will be with you. How many of you know you're always on the winning side when you got God on your side? Amen? Amen? "But I will be with you. You will strike down the Midianites as one man." Listen, it's okay to struggle with the calling of God that has upon your life, the mantle that God has for you. But you have to learn not to lean on your own understanding and to trust that God will always equip you to do his work. Even Peter had to learn this. It said in Luke chapter 5, Jesus said to Simon, "Put your net onto the deep and let your net down for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've been working all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let my nets down." And when he had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish that their nets were breaking, and they signaled to the other partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats up, and so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." He knew God was calling him, but he realized his own sinful nature. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." And when they brought the boats to the land, they left everything to follow him. You see the pattern? They all felt unworthy of the mantle that was given to them, and for good reason. Who are we? I mean, we're unholy. We're sinners. Who are we to be doing anything for a holy and righteous God? I even struggle this with the calling upon my life that God had for me. I found out that I was called to preach the gospel at the age of 20. And there were times where I thought to myself, am I really called to preach? Maybe I can be just a successful businessman, you know, support the kingdom of God with large offerings and large givings. And there's nothing wrong with that calling. Actually, the kingdom of God needs people to support the kingdom that way. But that wasn't the mantle that God had for my life. To preach the gospel, to lead men to follow God, was not in the list of the career choices I had. I remember struggling with the call of God upon my life. And I had this notebook where I used to take notes down when my pastor was preaching. And I wish I would have had it today, but I forgot it. But I wrote down on this page something I totally forgot about. And I was going through this notebook the other day, just trying to find some inspiration, something that sticks out to me, something that God wants to speak out to his people. And I came across a phrase that I wrote down. I wrote in large letters, capital letters, "You are called. Don't run. Don't deny. Don't wait." Because that's what people want to do when God calls his people. They want to run from it. They want to deny it. Or they want to push it to the side, hang it on the shelf, maybe for an opportune time for later to do it. Just like what Elisha wanted to do at first. He wanted to go say goodbye to his parents first, then follow the will of God. You see, in Hebrew, the word mantle is called haret, which means large, big, great, powerful, wide, excellent, noble, mighty, and glorious. Listen, the mantle of God will always be greater, will always be more powerful, more noble, more excellent, and more glorious than any earthly desire you had set your heart to. The mantle of Elijah, we find for our lives, may seem too big for us, may seem too large, and may seem that it doesn't fit you. But that's the nature of the mantle. It always has to be bigger than you. It always has to be larger than you. You may feel like your calling doesn't fit you. God, you have the wrong person. But God always has the right person to do the job. What he has called you to do. I had to ask myself a question when I discovered the writing. I wrote to myself, "You are called. Don't run. Don't wait." I said, you know, why did I write this down? Why does God give us mantles that are too big that we think they don't fit us? I mean, I was 20. I wasn't married. And yet I felt like I could win the world. But then there are times where I struggle. Maybe it's not for me. It's a lesson I had to learn. That sometimes the reason why your mantle or your calling for God may seem like it doesn't fit you because it's not meant to fit you right now. It's meant to fit you who you are to be, who you are to become. When you're a child, parents buy clothes sometimes that don't fit you. Even for babies, you are buying clothes that are bigger for them, bigger than your baby size right now, because every parent knows they will grow into it. Mothers even might find a nice outfit for their babies at 1 year old, and they're not even 1 year old yet, but they know that he will grow into it, knowing it's too big. It's not meant for you to be worn right now, but when your child grows into it, just like your calling. There's Prophet Samuel, his mother dedicated Samuel while he was a very young kid, said, "God, if you would give me a son, I would dedicate him to you." And he grew to an age where he was able to stay at the temple. He was old enough serving God there, and his mother would visit him once a year. And when she visited him once a year, she bought an outer garment. It was called an ephod for him to wear. Do you think that she, as a mother, made a garment for him to fit him right then and there? Or made a garment that he will grow into for a year? It's the one that he can grow into, of course. The same with the calling that God has for your life. Your calling must go beyond you. It has to be bigger than you. So you can grow into it. So you can rise to it. I want to talk lastly about the mantle of the Messiah. The mantle of the Messiah. Moses passed his mantle to Joshua, his disciple, at the end of his earthly ministry. And Elijah passed his mantle to Elisha at the end of his earthly ministry. But who did Jesus pass his mantle to at the end of his ministry? It says in the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, when you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he has said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up on high and was taken in a cloud out of their sight. And while they were gazing to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood there by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you into the heavens will come in the same way just as you saw him go into the heavens." Acts chapter 2, it says this, "And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all gathered together in one place. And then suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues sat upon their tongues like fire appearing upon them, rested upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues." So who did the mantle of Jesus fall upon? All the disciples. It didn't just fall on one disciple. The mantle of Jesus is too big to fall on one person. It could never fall on one disciple. It had to fall on all the disciples. And when the mantle of Moses and Elijah fell, the Spirit of God fell upon their disciples, Joshua and Elisha. So after Jesus was ascended, the Spirit of God fell on his disciples on the day of Pentecost. It says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You see, we all have been given a part of Jesus' mantle. We all have been given a part of Jesus' calling, of Jesus' Spirit. It is in his mantle that you find your calling. It is in his mantle that you find your ministry. You think of a baton race, in a track race, the baton. You always have the best runner, the fastest runner, running the last leg. And I can't think of any better or any greater generation that we're living right now that God is passing his mantle to, that he's calling his people to. He's saving and calling people to the ministry, calling people to lay down their lives. Man, they're having a great time over there, aren't they? But we have to take part of his mantle. And when we take part of it, we also have his anointing. For every calling, God gives his anointing to fulfill it. I say that one more time. For every calling, God gives his anointing to fill it. Amen. You will find your calling as you walk in the Spirit. David humbled just as a shepherd taking care of some sheep out there in the wilderness and the desert places. Just loving God, writing songs, writing poetry. Found his calling just walking in the Spirit. Getting close with God in prayer. God is saving and calling his people to something so much bigger, so much greater than themselves. Every child is given a mantle. Every child of God is given a calling. But will you go for it? Yes, there will be times where you struggle with the magnitude and comparison of who you are. Just like the stories you read. But with God, he's on the winning side. When he chooses you to follow him, you're on the winning side. So don't get discouraged. Don't get scared for what God has in store for your life. You might have to write it down if you have to, so you won't lose sight of it. God's calling for your life will always be greater, will always be more powerful, more glorious than you who you are right now. So you can rise to it. Embrace it. Say, okay, God, you have called me to do this, and by your grace, it will come to pass. Believe it that he called you, and if he called you, he will equip you. Amen? Amen. Let's give God praise for his word. Amen. God, we thank you. Amen. For your goodness.